Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
When I was a new believer, and if I would have had, you know, all of you guys talking and hearing what we're talking about on VFN radio, I was so encouraged. You know, I was like, oh, somebody loves him too. You know, because it's amazing when you get born again in a religious environment. Today, because America's so religious, you have this person who's like, I'm so in love with God, I'm so in love with God. And then they hang around people who said they're in love with God, but they're actually fell in love with the world and left the love of God. There's a dangerous moment where that person begins to say, well, I guess maybe I'm just too excited. Maybe, you know, somebody goes, he'll calm down. He'll get lukewarm like us. Like, well, thank you, mentor. I appreciate that.
Or you can listen to VFN. Zealous there.
Yeah, you can listen to VFN radio and say, listen, there are many people in love with God, and that the book of Acts is not a myth or a history book. It's actually what we're supposed to be seeing and doing in the church. The Bible is our pattern. It's our plumb line. And it's exciting. It's exciting. Jesus is alive. He is Lord of the harvest. And he said to pray to him, to ask him to send out workers. And we're talking to you. Maybe you are... God has called you to be a part, and if you are a believer, you're called to go into the harvest field. Timing is important. Being discipled is important. Being rightly related is important, so you survive and end up in the kingdom that you preach. And maybe VFN, Vine Fellowship Network's for you, you know, or Vine Fellowship Network University, where you can get all connected, get discipled, and get launched into your destiny so that the day that you do stand before the throne of God, no witnesses, no suspects, that the same expectations God has for an Oral Roberts, that he has for a Billy Graham, that he has for a Steve Hill, he has for you. He has for you. But whatever talents, whatever measure of what he's given you, he's gonna say, what did you do with it? And maybe God's given you a talent that you can do, if you're going to measure it by numbers, that you could do 10, you know, but you're only doing 5. Well, what did you do with the other 5? But maybe you're somebody that's been given talents, and there's plenty of these folks that you've been given 1,000. You can do 1,000. But, you know, you're doing 10 or doing 100, but you're doing 900 on yourself. You know, you're taking all that talent and everything. You're just building up wealth for yourself and hoarding things and buying bigger things. And listen, a day's going to come. You're going to stand right by the guy who actually had 10 talents, and he invested 10 talents, and he received back an interest. Something came from what he did for God, as a gift for God. And you're going to stand right next to him, and you would have invested, you know, 100, if you're doing numbers, of your talents, but kept 900 for yourself to be able to feed into your own flesh and things that you want. And you're going to think, because you did 100, that God's going to see you greater than the guy who did 10. But you don't understand. That's all he had was 5. All he had was 10. He maxed out. He did 100%. God's into percentages, not amounts. And it's very important to realize this. He's going to say, listen, you know, you wicked and lazy. I'm just quoting Jesus here. Listen, I'm not quoting doctrine. I mean, I'm about, you know, men's doctrines. I'm talking about the word of God. Jesus says, then the master will come back and he'll look at you and he'll say, you wicked and lazy servant. Take what you do have and give it to the one who doesn't have. And so you got to take all that 1,000 and give it to that one who had 10. But the one who had the 5 and invested it and got 10 back and he had 10, you know, the Lord looks at him and says, the master looks at him and says, well done. And that blows somebody else away. He says, listen, I have mansions that I live in, cars that are my, and I spent them all on me. You know, my house is bigger. Aren't I more valuable? Ask Lazarus. Right?
That's right.
And so understand that, you know, what are you doing with what God's given you? What are you doing with what God has given you? And we're, you know, talking to you to encourage you that first begin to get a vision that, hey, you can do something for God. You know, the same Jesus that's in the next believer is in you. The same Bible that this man preaches out of, if it is the Holy Bible, is the same Bible that you can preach out of and teach out of. You just need to get related with the people who believe that. You know, you need somebody who believes God and is not having to go, You want ones that signs are following them, that they're not following signs. It's like, mm-hmm. why do I need to be with you if you're following signs? I need to find somewhere where the signs follow them, right? right? I mean, it's, you know, these signs follow those who believe.
Right.
And Jesus works with us confirming those signs, and it's just pretty cool. There's all over the world, there's people who love God and who are following God like that. You know, I think about, you know, Steve and I were talking last night, I believe it was, in Pittsburgh, you know, and God's just really blessing him there. He got just really blessed. And he was bringing this out, how the Lord just laid this on his heart, and he was sharing it with me, and it just really bears witness, and it's so timely, because when you start to do something for God, you've got to be real careful that all of a sudden you're saying you're doing it for God, but you can find out how you're reacting to what's happening if you really are doing it for yourself. You know, and I think about it, you know, and Paul was writing to the church of Corinthians, and he was talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There was division. There was division happening in with believers, because they begin to measure success. They begin to define it, you know. They begin to say, you know, look what I'm doing, or look what he's doing, and because he looks like he's doing more, therefore he's more valuable, and this one looks like he's not doing. And all of a sudden there's this big, you know, value based off of what was going on. And so this is how Paul responds to it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 9, he says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ." This is what he's about to talk about then, is a very worldly view, and it's like a babe in Christ. It's just it's a immature argument. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. I mean, think about it. Some people say, well, yeah, I've been a believer for 5 years. And it's like, but you still have the nipple in your mouth.
That's right.
You got to move up. You got to move up. And the way that meat is, when you begin to do what God says and you practice the word of God in your life, you practice and you become, you know, Hebrews 6 talks about that. And he says, you're still worldly. Since there is jealousy and quarreling amongst you, are you not worldly? And the thing about it is, if you have an insecure man who feels less than because he has less money in his wallet, he has a smaller house, he has fewer people that he's ministering to, or his family's not as big as someone else's family, understand this, that's a pride thing. Mm-hmm. And when he does get the thing that he thinks he needs, that same pride will be there, and now he'll think of himself more valuable than he is.
That's right.
If you have somebody that feels insecure, saying they see somebody else that's singing, you know, and they're worshiping God with their voice, and somebody says, "Oh, you know, I want that. I want to be able to do that." Well, you have to understand, some people want it because they want the glory and they want to be valued. They see value in that for themselves. Mm-hmm. And some people just begin to worship God where they're at, like David did in the wilderness. It's a big difference. You know, a lot of people. It's huge. And so pride and worldliness and infancy in Christ is, so there's an argument going on. He says, are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, another one says, I follow Apollos, are they not mere men? You know, and some mere men don't understand they're mere men. Cool. And you talk to them, it's like, oh my goodness, we were talking to somebody who doesn't understand they're a mere man.
Right.
We got to be real careful, because we could really hurt their pride right now. Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
That fruit. Anyway, so then Paul goes in and says, what after all is Apollos? Because they're like, some people are going, I was in such and such. I go to this gathering over here, and this is my pastor there. And they're talking like, what? You know, and he says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? He's talking about himself. Only servants. That's who we all are. Through whom one came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each of us a task. We are not what we do. That's called hoodoo. And you've probably heard that again and again on VFN Radio, and you will continually hear it, because we have to get, God wants some hear doers, people to hear and do, but we're not hoodoo all of a sudden, because we are doing this, all of a sudden we're greater than somebody. That's who we are. And he said, you know, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And that's so important. but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he that waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So who makes things grow?
God.
Right. Now, if you get into making things grow, that's called manipulation, and it's not God's kingdom that's being built. That's your kingdom that's being built. That's how you can build monstrosities with a whole bunch of people who don't even know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, there have been somebody in my place that didn't know, you know, they were with us 6 months. They didn't even know we were the church.
Right.
And it's like, you openly said that?
And they didn't know God.
And didn't know God. Months. It's like, you think you'd get it close. So the man who plants, he goes on to say, and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. We are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. So we're just all in this thing together. Once you become a believer, you are a son and daughter of God. You are in the family of God. And there's mothers and fathers in the Lord and all that. But we're all family. We're just family. And nobody's any greater than the other person. And the seed, you have to understand that the seed is the word of God. What you understand when you hear about the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it plain in Luke 8:11. He says, listen, that the meaning of this parable is the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. And the field, he says, we are the field. It's the hearts of men. That's the soil that it gets planted in. And since God's word is the seed, he tells us in Isaiah 55:10-11, that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth, the mouth, and it will return, and it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It's going to accomplish what it set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
So God is the one. It's God's seed. It's not our seed. It's God's truth. It's the gospel. The good news is Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if he be lifted up and we tell people about him being lifted up, then he draws men under. It's him. But we plant that seed. But we tell people about it. It's his seed. It's not our seed. And we plant it. And another man comes and prays and believes God and it gets watered. And in that, but God, and that seed's going to accomplish what it's set out to do. You can't say, you know what's going to happen. I mean, you can't say it's God's going to cause that thing to grow. But it's no matter what, it's going to bring every man to accountability before the throne of God and say, what decision did you make with the seed that was laid upon your heart? The word of God. When you heard the word of God, and it's going to accomplish what? That every man had a chance. Every man had a chance. The gospel will be preached. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all. In other words, seed will hit every soil out there, every man's heart, and the end will come. So division happens in the church because men assume that one man was actually seeing things grow around him or her, that they were more valuable. And they begin to measure themselves by saying, well, I have fewer and they have more. And they start measuring things off the abundance of things, and God doesn't do that. When the reality is the success in God is when you sow the seed, when you go out and begin to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. You begin to love on them. You begin to pray for them. And you plant the seed. You can't make it grow. You can hope for it to grow. You can pray for it to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot make it grow. It's only God that causes it to grow. And when it does grow, it grows maybe in your ministry, in your workplace, wherever it is, but that's God causing it to grow. You're not any greater because all of a sudden that person responded to the gospel. God's greater.
That's right.
You're just a fellow worker, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clock in like me, man. We're going to all go to heaven together. You know, if Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this and heaven's like this, is that it doesn't matter when you come in and when you start working in the field, you're going to get paid the very same thing. Because we're all the same. And so you think about it. To understand the parable of the sower, then it helps you understand what the argument was going on and how to begin to define things, how things happen, and what is the key then to growth. Well, he says it, Matthew 13, verse 1 through 9, the parable of the sower. Jesus says, it reads, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell amongst thorns and grew up and was choked out by the plants were choked out by these thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil. Say that. Say good soil.
Good soil.
It fell on good soil where it produced. It grew. It produced a crop of 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, Jesus said, let him hear. And then he began to say in verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower really means. And this is important because we all need to be in the harvest fields. All this jealousy and this contention and this pride and this self-exaltation and measuring and all that stuff, it's got to stop. Knock that. We got to knock it off. We're all workers in the same field. We're all going to get the same reward. We're all going to get, it's not about that. We've already won.
That's right.
We've already won. We need to tell others about Jesus. It's time. In 2013, I believe, is going to be the year of a great harvest. But he says, let me tell you what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears this message, right, the word going out, somebody's mouth, when they hear this message about the kingdom of God and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, the word that was sown in their heart. He says, this is the seed that was along the path. So what happened? Well, you were obedient. You went out and you told somebody about Jesus, maybe at a gas station or a coffee shop, and they're excited about it. They didn't really understand it. By the time they got in their car and drove off, then Satan comes and steals that away from them because they didn't understand it. Are you less valuable or more valuable because that has nothing to do with you?
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself. This is a God thing. This is God. You know, you are not the master. God's the master. And this is going to empower you to be a worker.
That's right.
You know, we are believing that men and women of God are going to rise up and begin to tell people the good news and give them a chance and begin to send the seed out. Then he goes in verse 20, says, and the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. What did he do? He received it with joy. I mean, he's pumped. Woo! I mean, he's like happy and everything. He says, but since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. Let me tell you something. That's Jesus saying that. What happened is that he received it, he believed it, and then he lost it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jesus. Get over it. He said it. He's right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth.
That's right.
What happened? He was a disciple. He didn't get any roots.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but since he had no roots, he lasted only a short time. When trouble and persecution came because of the word, he quickly fell away. Listen, to be able to fight lies, you got to know the truth. And if only 19% of the church is in the Word of God, you know, you can't say, well, I just, you know, that, you know, if you are set up with the truth of God and you have an ability to train people in the Word of God, disciple them, I mean, you're set up. You know, it's up to them what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not any less valuable or more valuable. You should be brokenhearted if somebody gets choked up because they refuse to be discipled.
Yeah.
They just looked at the cares of life and defined themselves by that instead of listening to what God said about them. And he said that the one who received the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked it and making it unfruitful. I mean, that's America right now. We're being choked out by money. It's just money, money, money. So everybody's thinking about the money cliff. That's what fiscal means, the money cliff.
Right.
We're going over the money cliff. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Going over the money. That's what fiscal means, by the way. We're going over the money cliff.
Wow.
And the church is being choked out by it. I mean, we're paying $1.3 million per baptized believer. Come on. Yeah. My goodness. So anyway, we're just trying to get this figured out here. So, but the one, Jesus said, who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He hears it. He understands it. He produces a crop that yields 130 and 60-fold. So you see, this is it. You're just supposed to tell people about Jesus. Quit not telling them because you're predicting how they're going to respond and you're defining yourself by whether they say yes or no to God. To say, listen, it has nothing to do with you. You just tell them about God. Stop not telling them. Don't let the enemy stop your mouth from moving, break the lockjaw. My goodness, church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should be telling every day people about the word of God, but the lies of the enemies locked your mind and locked your feet and locked you down, the deceitfulness of riches and all these things choking it out and say, you need to get out there and quit defining success by anything other than you're a fellow worker. You're a fellow worker and understand that the condition of that soil, the condition of that man's heart will determine whether God's going to cause it to grow or not. That man's got to believe first. He's got to believe first. And not only does he have to believe, but he's got to get roots down and fruit up. Because you can believe in hard times and hot times come. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was a genuine encounter with God. But yes, they're back in the world again. They've left God.
Yeah. You can't judge your ministry efforts by the harvest you reap, but only by the seeds you've sown. You know, the harvest belongs to the Lord. So it's like you can't, the harvest has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with what God's going to do.
But the harvest means you can't make it grow. You just can't make it grow. I mean, you want, when what happens is when people start measuring that way, start doing things to create numbers, you know.
Appearance of growth.
It's an appearance of growth.
Right.
But it's, you know, it can be poor, naked, blind, and dead. Mm. And that's how you can be in a place for 6 months and not know it's the church because very well, a lot of it might not be.
Exactly.
Mm. And so understanding that you know, this is how the army is going to be launched. I realize that we're all called in the army of God. You know, we're all called to go out and to love people. And so the seed is you telling people the word of God. It comes out of our mouths and it's going to accomplish. May not accomplish, be like Joseph. You know, they may carry our bones out. We might not see the harvest, but you know what? In eternity, I'm going to see all this seed and everybody I told about God. They're going to be brought to the throne room of God. And some will say, he'll say, enter in. Well done, that good and faithful servant. And you'll be able to meet that person because what you shared in their heart, they believed and they received and it was part of it. But there'll be other people that God will remind them of the encounter that you had with them at the gas station that said, listen, you know, that Pat came to you and he told you about me and he told you about the way to me and you turned away. You said no to it. You said no to me. But it will accomplish that's what it set out to do. People say, well, you know, it's just automatically going to be a great harvest. Well, there's going to be a harvest period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's going to be harvested, you know, good and bad. And we're all going to be brought like sheep and goats before God. And every one of us would have heard the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to answer. We would have had the seed thrown our way and landed on our heart. What did we do with it? Did we believe? Was it good? Would they have a good heart? And we say, yes, we want that. And we receive it. And when you get past this, you realize, you know what? That I need to start telling people about Jesus. I need to start telling people about Jesus. You know, and at first, if you're having a struggle with it, tell them about Viva and Radio. We'll help you. We'll partner with you. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And telling them about your own personal testimony and realize that if they can believe and receive it, but not getting the roots, in other words, don't get discipled, then you need to have a strategy. There needs to be a strategy because remember the good soul is the one that not only received, believed, understood, but produced.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a strategy for a productive life. And we're going to make this all available for you on the VFN Torch. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life. Understanding this. We have a teaching on it. We have a simple little piece of paper that you fill this out, it'll show you how to have a strategy to be fruitful in your life. Not just to say, hey, I said a prayer somewhere, but you look more like the devil than the devil does, and how you're living your life, that you're supposed to be different and look different and realize if Jesus said this person believed but quickly fell away, I mean, read the word of God. Just read it. Forget what people are telling. Just read what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And it convicts you to realize, hey, it's not as flippant as people say. I've got to make a commitment to God. I've got to give him my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some sort of supernatural sentence
that
I got to say or some paragraph that I say to God. And so we're going to have available for you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and you're going to be able to have the teaching there. You're going to be able to have, of course, what I'm talking to you about now. And you're even going to have a simple form that you can fill out online and print it off. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.